This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast, and I'm Jane Johnson. This month is International Women's Day, which, if you're a Careering into Motherhood follower, you'll know and probably have tattooed somewhere. Obviously, it's also Mother's Day. I don't know about your thoughts on either of these 2 days. In fact, I'd love to hear them. You can post over on our Facebook group sometime. But both of them leave me feeling slightly awkward. The idea of one day where companies jump on LinkedIn or organise in-house events to celebrate women when the gender pay gap is still cavernous, I find slightly jarring. And Mother's Day has for a long time felt a bit like something from the 1950s, where we thank mums for doing all the crap that no one else wants to do and think a bunch of flowers will somehow suffice. So at Careering into Motherhood, where we always try to focus on support and things that will truly make a difference, we are running a month-long focus on confidence, women and confidence, career confidence, confidence at work, socially, imposter syndrome, and much more. It's not a big political stance. It's just an opportunity to focus on something that comes up a lot among our community members. So I'm upping the frequency of the podcast this month and making it weekly throughout March with more brilliant guests. And the first of whom is Kathy Weeks. Kathy is the author of a new children's book, What's New, Harper Drew. Her goal was to write books that inspire young people to be more confident. She began her career as an investment banker and has provided her editorial genius on a number of books before writing her own last year during lockdown. And she's done all of this while channeling her inner Spice Girl. What a woman after my own heart. Kathy, welcome to the podcast. How on earth have you gone from investment banking to writing a children's book?
Well, I mean, in some ways, a little bit by accident, although I think maybe, I don't know, maybe that doesn't give myself enough credit for it. So maybe not quite by accident.
You're going to try and draw some parallels now between investment banking and writing a children's book. That would be brilliant.
It's definitely less aggressive writing a children's book, I can tell you that much. I enjoyed investment banking and I did it for a long, long time. But I found it quite aggressive. I enjoyed the work, the job, the deals we did, but there was a lot of politics. In the end, I kind of found that I didn't really want to be involved in all of that, if that's what it meant you had to do in order to progress. And it was getting more and more so. So I decided that I was going to leave investment banking. And for a while, I went to work for the Treasury in the government. And I did the bailout of Northern Rock. So it's a little while ago now, but in the
I remember because I worked for a company that had the same square pink logo. Well, it was square and it was the same pink, and we had to rebrand and everything because people thought there was some
people queuing outside your office wanting their cash back.
No, we were in insurance, but that's why they decided to rebrand. But sorry, I interrupted you. Yes,
so
you
no, were so that was a great experience, very interesting having come from a really highly commercial environment at Goldman Sachs to go and work in the Treasury, where, you know, there were lots and lots of super bright people. But, it just wasn't the same commercial setup. So that was quite interesting. So I did that for a couple of years. And when Northern Rock was ready to be sold, when we'd put the 100 billion of bad loans on the taxpayers' balance sheet.
And how did you find going from somewhere super, super commercial, as you say, also highly political with a small p, to going somewhere less commercial, can I phrase it, and political with a big P?
Yeah, I turned up on my first day in the Treasury and I remember this phone call. And people used to swear in banking all the time. And I don't worry, I won't swear now. And, I remember in this meeting and I swore. And then the silence just sort of round the table as they looked at me, who is this person and why is she, so narrow?
Just dropping the F-bomb all
right,
over the
place. Right. Yes, because that is what I was absolutely used to. And I was used to people shouting and it just wasn't like that at all. And there were things that they were very, very good at. you know, logistics, organizing things, getting things done. They were very, very good at that. If I'm honest, they weren't so, but they, I guess this is why they were hiring sort of commercial bankers. Mm. They weren't quite so good on risk taking. Okay, if we do this, actually, we'll be able to come out in a much better position. They weren't very swift and speedy to be able to take those kinds of decisions. And I found that quite frustrating.
And I'm really interested in how people adapt to their environment in order to influence and get things done. So obviously, I mean, I love this idea of you going in on your first phone call or first meeting, as I say, just coming in full of, you know, the sort of stereotypical Goldman banker, and it just not landing. I mean, I suppose at what point did you realize, and at what point did you think, okay, I need to change in order to get things done, or am I going to try and change this organization? I'm obviously not just referring to language, but you know, that does imply a certain, it's a culture, it's a way, it's a mentality, a way of, come on, let's get this done. And if that wasn't quite right for you, how did you mold to that?
I think I guess there's a little bit of both that has to go on. I mean, evidently from that first meeting, it was a much calmer environment. But equally, I think it is good if you are, you know, if you have some experience, you have worked in other places, done different things, of which, you know, by that stage, I had done a few different things. I think it is good to bring your, that's why they hire you, right? It is good to push a little bit. And I remember I got invited to a meeting at 10 Downing Street by one of the advisors there. And I was quite new to this team of, a small team of bankers they brought in to help out with the banks that had gone into public ownership. And she called me in, and I think mainly because I was the only girl. So she called me and she said, and I sort of went through these grand doors and it was all quite exciting. Bashed into Gordon Brown, sort of elbow charged him on the way in, which wasn't ideal. And, you know, she was sort of saying to me, look, you know, we've brought you in. We want to have people who have had a commercial background. We need that kind of different view, difference of opinion, different way of working, because, you know, we do have a tendency to be stuck in our ways here. And so I think there was an element of me adapting, but also trying to bring a little bit of that commerciality into the role as well. I think we, in the end, we did do reasonably well with that.
So you went from politics, from government, and you founded your own consultancy before your latest venture.
Yeah, well, and that's sort of how I got into the writing of the children's books, which now seems like quite a segue of a career change. So yeah, my husband, Matthew Syed, had by this stage written a couple of books and was going into organisations and talking to them about the themes in his books, which are growth mindset, how to learn from failure, all messages that organisations are very keen to embrace. And what would inevitably happen is at the end of these great talks that he would be doing, these organisations would say, great, really enjoyed that. Now, what do we do? How do we actually go about implementing this culture change in our organization? How do we get it? You know, what are the practical things our teams, our staff need to think through if we're going to really embed this? So I thought, right, we should set up a consultancy business where we can go in and help with that. So that's what I started to do. And I developed a psychometric, growth mindset psychometric. So if you've ever done anything like Myers-Briggs or Insights, you know, you answer a series of questions. It's got a number of different stratifications, but it looks at how you cope with critical feedback. It looks at how resilient you are, how intellectually humble you are, how willing you are to take other people's ideas on board. So I developed that as the core IP for our business alongside the consultancy programs. And so, yes, that's where I'm doing the podcast from today, from the offices that we have. And we've obviously grown that business steadily over the last few years. But alongside that, I had this idea that Matthew's first book, Bounce, is all about essentially how you get good at stuff. It's not really about the raw talent that you've been born with, although it kind of is a little bit. Actually, it's about the effort that you put in, the journey you go on, the mistakes you make along the way, and how you respond to those mistakes, how you learn, grow. And you know, if you look at sort of people who are highly successful, almost always it's the case that they've been on this journey. And I thought for a long time that that was a great message for children. Usual story, I've been to Matthew's agent and said, you know, we should write a bounce for children, you know, growth mindset, confidence building book for children. And he sort of said, no, I don't know. Anyway. But ultimately, I carried on and went to the publisher and said, look, I've got this idea. What do you think? And they bought into it and said, yeah, actually, you know what? We think this is a great idea. And it did work. The illustrations are brilliant. It went on to win, you know, the nonfiction prize at the British Book Awards, which is huge. And yeah, so it was absolutely great. At that point, I kind of got a little bit more confidence that maybe I could do something of my own.
If you want something that will last a lot longer than a bunch of flowers this Mother's Day, then we have the perfect idea for a Mother's Day gift. Some of our partner coaches are offering a career coaching special package, especially for members of Careering Into Motherhood, to help get you started on whatever it is you want to tackle with your career. For the special price of £97, you will get a 20-minute discovery call with a professional coach, a follow-up email, and a 60-minute one-to-one coaching session with a career coach. You'll also get a follow-up email with actions and a coaching tool that you can use to take things forwards. If you're thinking of going back to work or want to change jobs, start a business, deal with some confidence gremlins, then our coaches can help. All you need to do is head over to our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com, and fill in some details. But I think it's really interesting, Cathy, and I also want to pick up on this because obviously confidence is a key theme in the book, in Harper Drew. But this idea that because somebody would look at you or maybe listening and think, oh, well, you know, Cathy went to university, did maths, then went on to investment banking, then was meeting with Gordon Brown, you know, prime ministers.
Shoulder
and
barge.
You're talking
rugby
tackling them. You went on to set up her own business, and yet you're sitting here talking today about not actually having confidence in your own abilities. I just think that's really interesting that we may look at people from the outside and sort of equate success with confidence. And clearly, from what you're saying, that isn't always the case. And I wonder what it was that gave you the confidence to think, yes, I can do this. Was it feedback from publishers, editors, etc., or was it something innate in yourself that having been through that process and it not being as scary as you perhaps had thought it would be?
I think I've got a funny mix of, on the one hand, thinking, right, okay, I'm gonna go out and try this, give this a go. But equally, the whole time, I do have this enormous imposter syndrome where I'm questioning everything I've said. I think in the end, that's what made banking so difficult, because every day I would go home, and I think women have a tendency to do this. I would go home and I'd think, I shouldn't have said that. I said this in a meeting. I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd said that instead. Did I do the right thing in XYZ, you know, situation? And I used to dwell on it all the time in a way that I don't think the men, generalizing a little bit, but a lot of the men, I don't think they did that. And it used to sort of eat up my confidence. And I still do that now. So I will certainly at the end of this podcast be thinking, oh my goodness, you know, what did I say? Should I have said that? Was I funny enough? Was I interesting enough? Will anyone want to listen to this? And that second guessing the whole time, that is quite exhausting, and it does erode your confidence. I think I struggle to try and think, okay, let's silence that voice while I get on with giving this a go. And then I think it is quite hard to also stand back sometimes and reflect and think, okay, because I think naturally I'm so busy thinking, right, okay, so I've just written this book and it's, you know, I've enjoyed writing it, but I'm thinking all the time, well, how many copies has it sold? Is it going to be a success? Are people going to write a good review? Rather than standing back and saying, actually, you know what, having this published in and of itself is quite a big achievement. And I think women, again, sort of sometimes struggle with the ability to stand back and say, right, actually, that was good. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, I was there's a program on the BBC at the moment called The Instagram Effect. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it was looking at how women, young women in particular, are so susceptible to the sort of mental health issues around using social media, because it's that thing of validation through likes and through data and through numbers and things. And when every part of you is out there, which in a way it is, if you've written a book, it's very, very personal. Your writing is incredibly personal. You know, again, podcasting and things like that. I mean, I have to say, I do this now. Not that I don't care. I just enjoy the conversations too much to kind of stop it. But I just think it's fascinating, Kathy. I think it's really interesting.
I think, you know, when I was at school, I was bullied quite a lot. I went to a huge inner city state school, all different types of kids. My parents were they didn't have a lot of money, but they were very focused on education and doing well at school. And I was sort of a bit of a geek, and I felt very much like I didn't fit in. And I think I carry that with me today, because I think I always am thinking, okay, did I say the right thing to fit in? Are people going to like what I've done? Because I want them to like it. I want to be a part, to be, you know, sort of to fit in. Trying to silence that as well is a bit of a struggle. I think it helps as you get older. But I totally get what you're saying about the Instagram. My daughter and her couple of friends at the weekend, it was quite sweet. They were drawing little drawings of Harper Drew, little illustrations. And then they wanted me to judge, which was terrible, because they were all really good. And one of them said to me, one of my daughter's friends, they're nine, said, why don't you take a picture and put the drawings on Instagram and we'll see who gets the most likes?
Oh, no.
Yeah. At nine, sort of already deciding that they're going to let these social media platforms judge them. You know, they're so young still, but they're almost sort of preparing themselves for that being what they're going to go into. And I thought that was really, really worrying.
Yes, definitely. So I wanted to come back to your story, where you were sort of validated by working on the You Are Awesome book. And then, you know, was it sort of straight from there that had obviously done so well that you thought, okay, now's the time I'm going to strike out on my own and write my own children's novel?
No, so I've written sort of seven nonfiction books. There's another book, Dare to Be You, which is sort of the follow-on from you. Then we did one for World Book Day, Your Awesome Guide to Getting Good at Stuff. And then there's a couple of journals that go with the books anyway. So there were a few in that genre that Matthew and I worked on. But ultimately, yes, that had given me the kind of validation, as you put it. And so it came to the first lockdown, and a lot of our business, it didn't actually, in the end, you know, people modified, adapted, our programs switched online, etc. But in that first couple of months, there was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things got cancelled. And so I thought, right, well, let's give this a go. And I wrote the first 5,000 words.
Mm-hmm. As you do, just not
doing it. But see, the thing was, in lockdown, it was, because everything stopped in that lockdown, you know, we had a leaky roof in our house, but you couldn't get someone to come and fix that because no one would come to your house and no one was working and no one would answer the phone. You know, the dishwasher was broken. That was it. You just have to wash up. So because everything stopped, it was almost like that life admin, which I'm sure you find as well. Like, my brain is, you know, 30% full of the things I'd like it to be full with, like the writing of the book and our business, and then 70% full of things like, you know, the post
fixing the washing machine,
the new lock on it, and I think maybe that brick might be about to fall off the roof. And because that stopped only for a short period, I had quite a bit of headspace to write that first 5,000 words.
You have children. How many have you got? Two, three?
Two.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I spectacularly failed. I have one. He just absorbed that 100% of my time.
Well, no. Yeah, no. Well, that's also true. But I just think that there was such a reduction in the life admin that now is back. A vengeance. And if I could sort of invent one thing, it would be sort of some fairy that come and take that away from you. But anyway, so yeah, I actually wrote that quite quickly and sent it across. And I wanted to do something that was fiction, because that would be different to the other books. That would be mine. I also, you know, felt that I had this idea for this diary. It's based a lot on my own childhood and the antics of my family. Yes, I mean, not everything in the book, but a lot of it did actually happen.
It's really fun. I mean, I've read it. It's fun and funny. Yeah, I mean, I suppose, how did you? It's quite brave in a way to come out with a book where there's, you know, I'm sure there are loads of kids, but I have a son, so I don't read lots of sort of girls based books, but I'm sure there are plenty with a young girl as the main protagonist. But she is different, isn't she? She is quirky. She is brave.
Yes, and that was, you know, part of what I wanted to do. So it's interesting you say that you've got a son, so you don't read all that many books with a female protagonist, because one of the discussions that I'd had with the publisher quite early on was about exactly that, because boys don't tend, it transpires, to be that keen on reading books where you've got female lead characters. And so I, in a way, I did want to try and challenge that a little bit. And, you know, writing a strong female character, she's not particularly girly. She's got friends that are boys. She's got two brothers. And I think, I hope that the story would appeal to a boy.
Oh, it does. It does. My son has read it, or is reading it, I should say.
And that was intentional to write, you know, and I feel like she's the girl that I wish I had been, you know. She knows her own mind. It is all a bit chaotic, but then every family is a bit chaotic, has their quirks. I think that's one of the funny things you realise as you get older, is that you spend your childhood thinking that your family is quite normal. And then you meet other people and you meet other families and you think, oh my goodness,
<It's so true.
laughs> no family is normal. Actually, exactly. Every family has their own version of normal. And often that's quite, you know, hilarious.
Yes.
You know, quite often, in particular at the moment, life can be quite serious. And actually, there's a lot of funny things, interesting things, zany things that happen all day, every day. And taking a bit of time to think that life is quite fun is no bad thing. And I think particularly for children now, are coming out of this pandemic where there's been a lot of change, you know, just an ordinary, relatable story which can make them laugh.
Yeah, so true. Really, really needed at the moment. One thing I did want to sort of observe or talk about is you make it out almost as if you fell from one thing to another. And yet perhaps, and I think this is interesting for people who are listening, and lots of our listeners are struggling with making career changes or changes to being imposed upon their careers because of having children. And yet one thing that strikes me is it's more your, whether it's your values or your skills or something innate in you, which has driven your career path. And it has been a squiggly one. It has gone from here, there to different places, but yet it feels like everything you have done has actually been quite true to you. And when things haven't worked for you, like you talked about leaving investment banking, where you talked about why you left politics. Yeah, you know, do you feel that you have now sort of found what you want to be when you grow up, or do you think you will continue to evolve?
Spice Girls.
I hate to break it to you.
That's still an option. It's probably not. And I can't sing, so that's
well, never mind. That didn't stop all of them. I love the Spice Girls, let's just be clear.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do feel that, you know, the writing has happened accidentally. And as I said at the beginning, maybe that isn't giving myself enough credit for the path that I've taken, because, as you say, it has been a bit squiggly. But I think that the common thread is a belief that you can go out there and try something new. And I guess, you know, in the spirit of you are awesome, you know, growth mindset. It isn't about what you think you sort of were born with, what your talents are. It's about how much effort and drive and resilience you have to make it work, I guess. And I think that's the common thread. You know, I started working when I was 14. I was cooking these dinners in this elderly care home for these poor, poor people. I was paid £1 an hour. And, you know, other people around me were sort of, what are you doing that for? And it was because I wanted to get out there. I wanted to earn some money. I wanted to, you know, be able to pay for things on my own. It's always been enormously important to me that I can pay for my own things. You know, so even from quite an early age, I think I had that drive to put myself out there, try. And if it doesn't work, then it's not the end of the world. It's better that you have given it a go. And I do really firmly believe that. And I think it's really hard for women who have had a career. So many women that I know, super bright, who have been highly successful, had some time out, and are now thinking, oh, but what have I got to offer? And the answer is masses, so much. Your experience, life experience, the fact that you can run all this life admin is more than most male CEOs do, you know, in their working day, I would imagine. And I think you have to believe that and just get out there and give it a go.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Obviously, that's the whole ethos of, you know, of careering into motherhood and what we try and do. Thank you so much. It's been really, really interesting talking to you. And I feel like we've only just scratched the tip of the iceberg. You'll have to come back and we'll have to talk
anytime.
About more.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. Thank you ever so much. Huge thanks to Kathy for providing that very honest insight into her own imposter syndrome, her experience of bullying, and what drives her. You can buy What's New Harper Drew at any good bookshop and obviously online. It's out now and it's a brilliant read for young boys and girls. Don't forget, if you'd like to know more about our career coaching Mother's Day voucher offer, head over to our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. You'll also find heaps of free career coaching tools that you can download. If you haven't already, then do follow this podcast, as I'll be back next week with Pamela Bisson, the founder of Boss Your Life Academy. Thanks for listening.